Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to
good morning the sun. And welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church's online worship this morning. My name is Caroline Hewitt, and I'm the Salvation Army Minister based at the Connect at Copper Beach Gathering. Welcome as you join us this morning. It's great to have you tune in with us. We welcome people who are part of our church family and our church members, but we also welcome those of you who have just connected with us online. Wherever you are most welcome to join us for worship this morning. I do trust you are all keeping well, and I just hope that as some of you have been able to meet in person in your gatherings, if you've been able to reconnect with your church family, we just pray that those Sundays have been special despite some of the restrictions we still have to live under. And also for those of you who've not yet been able to meet in person for whatever reason, we just pray that actually God's Holy Spirit is as real and as tangible to you as you meet online. And that's my prayer for all of us this morning. As we meet online this morning, I just pray that God's Holy Spirit will be just evident and with us in this time. I pray that God will just open our hearts and our ears as we are listening to His word, as we learn a little bit more about Him, and as we are maybe challenged in our own faith. Ed and Sophie Borrett from Connect at Copper Beach are leading us in our song worship this morning, and they are going to start our service with a song. But just before they do that, I want to read the first two verses from Psalm number 9, which says this: I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Let's sing this morning our praises to God.
Couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you.
no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Climb mountains, if the mountains were where you hide. Oh, how far would I scale valleys, if you graced the other side. Oh, how long have I chased rivers, from lowly seas to where they rise. Against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you'll neither more or less incline. I would search and stop at nothing, you're just not that hard to find. You on the mountain, I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are, so I will praise you in the valleys of the sea. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, how far beneath your glory does your kindness extend apart from when your feet rest on the sunrise. Sweet the sinner's parts, and how false would you come running if just a shadow through the night. Trace my steps through all my failure,
Thank you, Ed and Sophie, for helping us just draw into God's presence this morning through that beautiful gift of music. This morning's service, we're going to be continuing on our series of lament, which I think is quite a poignant thing to be doing at this stage in the pandemic, just to stop, to pause, and to reflect before we move forward as the next stages of lockdown start to happen. And Graham Brownlee is going to help us this morning. He is going to be bringing us the message from God's word, and we'll be looking at that theme of loss. Herb and Lynn is going to be bringing the Bible reading from Psalm 13, and Jeff Thornton is going to be leading us in our prayers this morning. But before all of that, I'm going to hand you over to Nathan Shipley, who is going to lead us in the All Age Talk. Thank you, Nathan.
As it's just you and me, I want to ask you a personal question. What breaks your heart? What makes you feel sad? Causes you to cry out? What makes you well up? I was heartbroken when I watched Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I was heartbroken when I realized that I wouldn't play Scrabble again with a friend who'd recently died. What breaks your heart? As a church, we're in a short series looking at lament. Last week, Jill helpfully described lament as real people wrestling with the reality of what they see versus the reality of what God has promised. As we look out at the world from our front lines, at school, home, the workplace, in our communities, we see brokenness. We see things that are not fair, that aren't right, that make us sad. Our hearts are broken. And so I want to ask a second question that was first sung by Jimmy Ruffin. What becomes of the brokenhearted? What do we do when we've had our hearts broken by a situation? Well, it's natural, isn't it, to protect ourselves. And so we could protect ourselves in lots of ways. Perhaps by ignoring a situation, pretending like it doesn't exist. Perhaps we protect ourselves by not engaging with it emotionally because actually it's just too painful. I can't take the heartbreak a second time. Maybe we simply accept the situation for how it is and say, well, it's never going to change. As a church, we're committing to growing in our passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission. We've sung together Hosanna by Hillsong, which says, break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. For us, it's not enough to have our hearts broken and then protect ourselves and retreat. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. Samuel Chadwick, the Methodist preacher, put it like this: it's wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if he gets all the pieces. It's wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if he gets all the pieces. We want to have our hearts broken again and again and again and again. Because actually the sadness that we feel, the cries that we have, the tears that we shed for situations are nothing compared to the heart of God as God looks out at his world and he sees brokenness and he sees that it's not as was intended and it's not as it will become. But we're in a time of brokenness, a time of heartbreak. What becomes of the brokenhearted. In Isaiah 61, where Isaiah describes the year of the Lord's favor, verses that are read by Jesus at the start of his ministry, it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Now, to be bound up is not to be restricted, to be put in a straitjacket, but to be bound up by our sovereign Lord Jesus, to be bound up by Jesus himself, is to have our hearts healed, is to put a plaster on it, but much more than a plaster. And it's a strange paradox, isn't it? That Jesus wants to come to heal our hearts, to bind up the brokenhearted, and yet Jesus also wants to break our hearts for the world. And as our hearts are broken, it's to lead to action. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. So in this moment, ask God to break your heart. And if he's already broken for something, ask him to break it again and again and again and again. And as your heart is broken, continue to cry out, to lament to God with honesty, with questions, with confusion, with doubt. Join in with God's people who have done that time and time again. Let's be those who've had our hearts broken and who then don't protect ourselves, but give ourselves again and again on behalf of those created in the image of God.
Righteousness alone.
Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. O Christ alone, my cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Let us pray. Father God, who is all and above all and in all, we come before you this day confessing our sins and asking your blessing upon this congregation. There is none beside you who is capable of the loving kindness that comforts and convicts, who sustains us through all perils and conveys us through the storms of life. Be with us today and always, keeping us in the palm of your hand and sheltering us from the storms of life. With you beside us, what do we fear? We thank you, Lord, for the provisions which you have made for us as we journey in our earthly existence. And we remember, Lord, that when we look at the footprints in the sand and see only one set of footprints, it is you who are carrying us through the difficulties and challenges of life that we face. We pray especially today for those who are suffering, who may have been bereaved, and who are in need of your healing touch. We know, Lord, that you will never face us with anything that we cannot overcome with your help. Forgive us when we forget this promise and attempt to face life without you. Forgive us when we focus too much on self, when we seek solace in the things of this world, drink, drugs, and other distractions. Fill us instead with your Holy Spirit that we might turn our eyes heavenward and know that you are God. Let our lips sing songs of praise, having the certainty that you are with us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless and guide those who turn to you and do your will. Too often we seek only that which we want and ignore that which we need. Be our guide and a light on our path, that we may truly see your will, knowing that you desire only that which is good for your children. Thank you for taking up those burdens which we find too onerous, for taking upon yourself the sorrows of the world that we might find peace. Reaffirm in us the certainty of your salvation and the perfection of your plan. Let us, like the psalmist, trust in your mercy and your love, and let us know your love for us, your creation. Keep us safe from temptation and lift us from despair and depression, that by faith we may be saved and brought into your divine presence. Lord, we pray today for your church and pray for your message of salvation and pray that it will be proclaimed throughout your creation. Let your Spirit convey a message of hope and love and eternal light and life to a dark and hopeless world. Bless all those who minister, Lord. Let their lips proclaim your word as you would have it known. We who are your creation and the sheep of your pasture, fill us today with your Spirit, that we may be a beacon of light and hope to the world around us. And guide us, Lord, in your way, that your will be done. As we look toward the summer holidays, we ask journey mercies on all those who may be traveling. Keep them ever mindful of your guiding presence, that they may be refreshed in spirit as well as in body. We pray for the ministry team serving our fellowship at Cornerstone Baptist Church and acknowledge your guidance as we minister to our brothers and sisters. Confirm in us the knowledge that there is no service too great or too small that, when performed in your name and to your glory, is not godly service. A kind word or gesture may be just what is needed. Let us be sensitive to the needs of your church that, like Samuel, we might answer when you call upon us, and let us respond in faith. And now, Lord, bless this time that we have in your presence. Inspire us to your call, and open our ears and our hearts that we may hear the message that you have for us, and respond for your name's sake. And all God's people said, Amen.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation version of the Bible. Psalms chapter 13, starting from verse 1. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle of my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, We have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi everyone. How can we struggle to tell the truth in church? I mean the whole truth, that loss is the part of our lives. That being lost is not just the experience of those who are not Christian, it's an experience that comes to Christians too. It hits us like this. The explorer Ranulph Fiennes tells of his experience on a polar exhibition. We had a map, but it was all white. Or closer to home, what our experience is when we go off route with the sat-nav and the sat-nav whirs as it tries to recalculate our way forward. Disorientation is a word to describe when our lives go off the planned sat-nav route or we're not sure where we are. The disorientation of relationships, careers, of health, of going from strength to strength in faith, it hits us big time personally when we face death and the loss that death brings to us. It affects society hugely in communities or in global events that throw us off the route we thought we were going on. Years ago, I was with other community leaders talking with government ministers about what makes a good community and city and a good society. We got talking about the importance of building opportunity and better communities above all else. Those senior politicians agreed, but then they made an admission. Whatever we decide to do about communities, economic growth must always come first, regardless. This was their crisis of orientation and disorientation. And now, years later, in the face of pandemic and of environmental crisis and challenge, we are being disorientated. And that's why our political and business leaders the world over are struggling so much with this. It's their disorientation. And loss is the experience we have when we are disorientated. And in facing loss, the first option we have is to be honest. It happens. To deny disorientation and loss invites people to feel guilty. When it comes their way, something must be wrong. It must be my fault. Or it invites people to live in denial. We have to keep pretending things are working and okay when they're certainly not. It's worth searching for Linda Paston's poem, The Five Stages of Grief. And as she goes through this, it begins with these words. The night I lost you, someone pointed me towards the five stages of grief. Go that way, they said. It's easy, like learning to climb stairs after the amputation. And so I climbed. Denial was first. It's okay to be honest. It's liberating to be honest. You and I can be honest. Loss happens. The second option for us is to be real. On Tuesday this week, someone slapped President Macron across the face. And psalms of lament, complaint and protest, of which there are about 50 in our Bibles, are a bit like slaps across God's face. Be ready to tell God the way it is. It's okay to eyeball God, to slap God across the face if you like. And these 50 odd psalms have protest, complaint and simple laments. They are something important. They're about being real about life, the life we lead. They tell the truth And as Jesus tells us in the Bible, you know the truth and the truth will set us free. We know that in our faith, which is based upon the grace of God, more often than not, almost totally, God makes the first move. As the book of James puts it, thinking about love, we love because God first loved us. But that's not always the case. In Jesus' life, he reached out to many people. He initiated much barrier-breaking compassion. But there were repeated occasions when desperate people facing loss didn't wait for Jesus to come to them. They interrupted him. They eyeballed him. They demanded his attention. Those with family members dying, lepers, poor people, the blind. And as Bartimaeus put it to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy," which is one of the most short and pithy prayers of loss and lament. And so it's okay to be real with God, to tell God how you and I feel, to give God a verbal slap across the face. In the video, President Macron briefly returned to the barrier after the incident and once again interacted with the crowd. "I continued and I will continue," he told the press. "Nothing will stop me." And if Macron is not put off by a slap, how much more will the God who loves us stick with us when we give it to him as we see it and as we experience it? The next invitation for us is to go on a journey. And this is where our reading, Psalm 13, comes in. Take a look at it. It takes us on a journey of loss and disorientation. In verses 1 and 2, there are a series of questions, raw and rhetorical. "How long, O Lord? Where are you, God?" They grab God's attention. God is simply expected to listen and to take it. They are the voice of someone facing loss. We don't know precisely the situation. It could be being bullied or blamed at work. It could be someone dying. It could be the rawness of that bereavement. It could be getting through real doubt and serious deep questioning. But these questions are a barrage. "God's been absent. What are you doing? Where are you?" They come and God simply absorbs it. Then in the next two verses, verses 3 and 4, comes request and motivation. "God, will you act? Will you answer or consider? And will you lighten me in case my loss finishes me off, lest I die, am overcome by my enemies and ridiculed?" I have known that experience. I myself would go through those situations and I wonder what God's going to do. In my disorientation, I put those questions to God. "God knows. How long shall I wait? Till hell freezes over?" Waiting. And then in that waiting, and the last two voices of the verses of the psalm, a new voice speaks from that person. A new orientation. "I've trusted, that's what I've done. And in time I shall rejoice, and I will sing again. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Through that journey, there is a hope that comes. This is the journey through the stages of bereavement, if you like. That journey that takes us beyond denial and may reach something deeper and better in time. Read again Linda Paston's poem. She goes through those stages of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. And the poem concludes thus. "Acceptance. I finally reach it. But something is wrong. Grief is a circular staircase. I've lost you." And that's what we discover as going on our loss and our disorientation. We go through with God. We make progress. But at times we have to go through the circle again and re-experience that disorientation as our lives journey in complex ways. Where are you on this journey of loss and disorientation? Let's be honest in our lives and more honest in our churches. Let us tell the whole truth and the truth will set us free. To let that truth be told is the gospel. To deny it is less than the gospel. And the third option is to pray. Many of us have questions about how prayer works and how to pray. But it is so often the case that in times of disorientation, people of great faith and none, people experiencing loss, simply pray and call out to God and batter the Lord's attention. We can pray to God. Let us pray to God, maybe using a psalm to help. Maybe Psalm 13 is a good one to start with. And maybe pray on our own, or alternatively, pray with someone who will listen with us and trust. Prayer has the power to change situations, to change us, and to change what God does. Yes, you heard me right. Prayer changes what God does. When the theologian Karl Barth wrote about the Lord's Prayer, he put these words: prayer causes God to do things that God would not otherwise do. Prayer causes God to do things that he would not otherwise do. You cannot change God's love and God's will. They are always there and consistent, as constant. God always moves to be with us, to love us and to save us. But we can change what God does in a particular or specific situation. Prayer gets God's attention and changes what happens. And here is a word of hope. As Christians, we don't believe in immortality. Things going on seamlessly forever. We believe in death and resurrection. Death is real and resurrection comes. We don't have a saviour from afar. We have life and hope from one who is with us. We have Jesus, God with us. In our Good Fridays of loss and our Easter Saturdays of disorientation and waiting, love is stronger than death. Easter Sunday comes. There is a verse in Song of Songs that's often read at funerals. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for your love is strong as death. This holds us through disorientation and loss. This is our hope. God's love is as strong as death. Here is the truth. Whatever we are going through, God has our name tattooed on his arm. You and I are a seal on God's heart. God's love is stronger than death because of what we know to be true in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He journeys with us in our disorientation. He shares that with us. Life and loss and being disorientated are indeed daunting. The hardest part day to day is to keep our perspectives wide and hopeful. And when we're in the middle of trials and challenges each day, to recall and remember that God created the world to be with us and God will never leave us alone. If we live or we die, succeed or fail, win or are ridiculed, we are in Christ. I've had to learn that time and time again. I'm still learning it. This is real. This is the hope for those who lament. Here is the truth that sets the lost free. So, in our disoriented times, individually and in our whole COVID world, you know what the sat-nav does first. When we miss the turning, it frantically tries to turn us back on the same road to go back to when we last left the road. But if we keep going off-piste, it in the end will recalculate a new route to our destination. It will be resourceful. In love, with a seal on God's heart, in Jesus, God staying with us, and the world God has created, we experience loss, but we cry out to God. We go on this journey, and God is responsive to our prayers. God is resourceful and loving, and consistently recalculates a way forward for us. This is our hope. This is the true story. Let's tell the truth to one another. Let's tell the truth to God and find that God will take the slap, will journey with us, and will redeem us in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. Fails.
matter for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind's strong and water's deep, I'm not alone here in these open seas, 'cause your love never fails. Was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Nothing as the day appears.
skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. To kingdom come, see the hope of heaven shining like the rising sun. Now forever lifted up from death to life, there's no fear in love and no darkness in his endless light. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. On our Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun.
Thank you, Graham, for your word and message to us this morning. And thank you for all who have led and participated in this morning's worship and have put this together. I'm going to close our service this morning with some words from the Northumbria community from a canticle that they have written, and then I will then pray a blessing for us all. So let's listen to this. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing your praise, O Lord. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In the shadow of your wings, I will sing your praises, O Lord. One thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, is to dwell in the presence of my God and to gaze on your holy place. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing your praises, O Lord. I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. O wait for the Lord, have courage and wait, wait for the Lord. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing your praise, O Lord. And a blessing for us to close our service. See that you be at peace among yourselves, my children, and love one another. Follow the example of the wise and the good, and God will comfort you and help you, both in this world and the world which is to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh.